It's the Scotty Myers Show.
Hey, welcome to this week's edition of the show. I'm your host, Scotty Myers. Thanks for joining me. Welcome to 2022. Oh my, oh my. It feels like the trilogy no one asked for. 2020, 2021, 2022. It's all just been one giant blur. Hopefully this year at some point we start to kind of feel like this is all behind us. That's my hope. Lots of geek news this week, so we're going to dive into it. A lot of DC stuff, a lot of rumors that I want to chat about and break down. But let's start in the world of Star Wars, because the Book of Boba Fett is out there. And we'll get into that in a second. Just a couple of Star Wars video game related news stories that have popped up. Just anticipated release dates, but still stuff to look forward to. The Knights of the Old Republic remake that was announced last year. Looks like it's going to be coming out sometime in 2023. So not too long a wait for that. Again, Knights of the Old Republic, hands down, one of the greatest Star Wars games ever made. So a chance to play that through again. Yeah, sign me up. I'm usually against remakes, but this one I'm definitely kind of on board for. And then the other video game news coming out of the Star Wars universe is Jedi Fallen Order 2, or whatever the title ends up being, is looking like a late 2022, so late this year will be the release date for that one. And I gotta say, I was surprised how much I liked Fallen Order. I was like, Jedi, you know, like the time frame, it's canon, apparently. So I was like, I'm not sure about this, but I enjoyed the hell out of the game. So looking forward to the follow-up, and again, looks like we could get that before the end of the year. Word is they want to announce it before E3, so that would be June for E3. So I would expect, you know, maybe an announcement April, May-ish might make sense. So something to look forward to there. On to the Book of Boba Fett. We're two episodes deep into this highly anticipated Star Wars series. And I've seen mixed things online. Some people are loving it. Some people are hating it. For some of the reasons people are not enjoying it, I understand. But I'm on the loving it side. And maybe it's my affinity to the character, because I love Boba Fett so much that maybe I'm willing to overlook a few things here and there, and it's clouding my judgment, and I'll be the first to admit that. However, having said that, I really do think the story is good. I'm enjoying the world that they're showing to us. Now, one of the main complaints is that it's taking forever to show us this world. And yeah, the story is moving slowly. I saw one article online that said episode 2 should have been episode 1. I was like, that's stupid. No offense to whoever wrote that article, but episode 1, I'm going to break each episode down a little bit here now. Episode 1 set up two major things. One, it explained how he got out of the Sarlacc pit. And if you're not someone that has read a lot of Star Wars Legends books, which aren't even canon anymore, or anything like that, in your mind, Boba Fett has always been dead until we saw him in The Mandalorian. And then a lot of people that are casual fans said to me, how the fuck did he survive the Sarlacc pit? So they took moments to set that up, which was great. And they're also doing a lot of building of the Tusken Raiders, which I'm really appreciating. You know, I mean, when we see them briefly in A New Hope, they're kind of just, you know, and Obi-Wan scares them off. And so they kind of just seem mindless. And even a little bit when Anakin kills the Tusken Raider, you know, camp in his film in Revenge of the Sith. It to me again is kind of like they seemed a bit mindless warrior like. This is establishing them as a society, and they even point out in the second episode that some of them are more brutal than others, much like people. So I love that they're building this kind of world for the Tusken Raiders. I think it's great. And as I said to my wife after episode 2, I said, this is all going to be very important by the end of this show. Really is, because there are armies amassing against Boba Fett. So the first episode really explained how he got out of the Sarlacc pit, showed how he lost his armor, and showed him you know, basically as a prisoner to the Tusken Raiders. And that was about it. It didn't set up a whole lot else except that there were people trying to off Boba Fett in the kind of, because the story is split between flashbacks and the current timeline. And in the current timeline, there was an assassination attempt. That was such a small part of the episode, though. Most of the episode was told in flashback, and it's really setting up and filling in holes in the Boba Fett story, which, as a fan of the character, I really, really appreciate. Episode 2, a little bit more intense with the action, and we definitely got more characters, and we're seeing how complex the underground world in Star Wars is. And it's these slow, like, think of this. This isn't an action series. I mean, it's going to have elements of action. This is an underground criminal series. So think more in terms of a mob movie where there's moments of action, but really it's a lot of personal interplay and how the mob works. And that's kind of what we're getting with these first couple episodes of The Book of Boba Fett. So in the second one, you know, we see that the mayor is corrupt. We see that basically everybody is corrupt. And we find out there's more Hutts. I mean, we always knew there was more Hutts. But the cousins of Jabba arrive to Hutts, to be in fact. And they lay claim to Jabba's throne, setting up a major conflict down the road. But they also have a warrior by their side. As a matter of fact, Boba Fett calls him a gladiator, and he has been a fan favorite from the Marvel comic books, and to see him transition to live action is pretty cool. I can't really pronounce his last name. Black Chrysanthemum. He's basically a giant Wookiee that was kicked out of the Wookiee culture for being too violent, and now he is just a giant warrior. Very imposing looking character. And even, you know, if you don't have a frame of reference for him, my wife didn't. As soon as she saw him, she was just like, oh, that does not look good for anybody. Like, that guy looks like he can whoop some ass. And he definitely can. So really great episode. A lot of tension in it. Again, if you compare this to a mob underground crime story, its pacing is fine. If you're expecting it to be nonstop action, then yeah, you're going to have massive pacing issues with the first two episodes. But I feel like it is building more and more. It's like a boiling pot. And there is going to be an episode, I think, that is a lot of just all-out action. But so far, two episodes in, I am totally sold on it. Again, I can get why maybe some casual fans aren't, but I think they just need to maybe reframe how they're looking at it, and I think you'll enjoy it a whole lot more. Looking forward to the next episode. It's become like Wednesday tradition, although I think it's only 8 episodes, which is a bummer because I would like this to go on more. Hopefully there'll be a second season. Switching to Marvel, not a whole lot going on from Marvel right now. They're kind of taking a breather after the massive success that was Spider-Man No Way Home. It continues to be a success. It's just, you know, they've even submitted it for Best Picture consideration. I think that's a little hopeful. I'll put it that way. I would say delusional. Just, you know, listen, comic book movies rarely get considered for those massive, massive awards. I know it has happened in the past, and I'm not saying it won't happen this time, but I have my doubts. But it continues to make money, and people, the surprising thing here, I expected, spoilers if you haven't seen this, and it's been a few weeks, but spoilers in 3, 2, 1. With the return of the previous Spider-Men, I expected more people to be excited about Tobey Maguire coming back and wanting to see more of him. So far on the internet, I've seen more of a love for Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man. And I never had an issue with his Spidey. I always thought, you know, he was a great Spider-Man, just hampered by, you know, okay scripts at best. But people really would like to see him return. And he has said he seems like he's open to maybe coming back as a Spider-Man going forward, which would be cool. I'm down for that. I mean, we live in a world now where we can have multiple Spider-Man, multiple Batman, multiple Superman, multiple Blades. I bring that up because I, you know, everybody's going on, and I know, listen, I'm a bit of a DC guy more than anything else, but everybody's flipping out over Marvel having this multiverse, and it's like, well, DC was planning on doing this, previously. If they hadn't run into the director issues that they kept having with The Flash, we would have already had DC's multiverse. But having said that, if Marvel really wants to blow my socks off with their multiverse, get Wesley Snipes' Blade in there. I know you're doing a new Blade, and that's fine, because now we live in a multiverse where we can have multiple versions of the same character. Get Wesley Snipes back on board. I'm just saying, if you really want, you know, to make my mind explode, that would do it. I mean, that would just be awesome if that happened. In comic book news on the Marvel side, they did something kind of crazy. They changed Punisher's logo. Now, I know Punisher's logo, the skull, has been linked with some groups that you probably don't want, one of your intellectual properties linked to and been used online and that. This is the problem of the internet. You can't really control where everything pops up. So they changed Punisher's logo. It fits the storyline that he's in right now, but I got to say, I'm not a fan of the new logo. I have a feeling eventually he will go back to a version that is closer to the original without being the original. I think the original has been tarnished, maybe to the point that they can't go back to it. But this new one is way off and just too sleek in my mind. Like when I saw it, I went, oh, it's not a bad design. It's just the Punisher to me was always, I don't give a fuck about the logo. You know, like that's not what this is about. I'm about revenge. And this logo, like I said, it fits the current storyline that they're doing, but it's just too planned, I guess, in my mind. So yeah, we'll see how long it lasts. But it's interesting because it has caused a bit of an uproar online because people love the original logo because it's badass. I get it. Moving on to DC, I'll start with the news and then we're going to get into the rumors. And the rumors, there have been a lot and there's been a lot of pushback and I'll get into all that. So starting with the news, this is wicked news. Comic writer Ed Brubaker, who has written some amazing stories, he is now the head writer on the upcoming animated series Batman Caped Crusader. Amazing talent behind that show with J.J. Abrams and Matt Reeves. And just now you're adding Ed Brubaker. It's crazy, crazy. Really looking forward to that animated show. Ben Affleck's been doing some press, and obviously everybody's just going to ask him about Batman. And he talked about The Flash, and he said that was his favorite Batman scenes that he's ever shot are in The Flash. And as he said, he goes, I say that, who knows if they'll make the cut or not, but I felt like what we shot was special. And I have a feeling they will make the cut. I mean, they definitely want to have Ben in The Flash, and if he did stuff that he feels is that great, I'm sure it'll make it. He also confirmed that The Flash marks the end of his run, which will lead into the rumors a little bit in a second, but he did say that. Also, we're going to see this pop up again in the rumors, but it was confirmed Michael Keaton's Batman will be showing up in Batgirl, which, again, I am just going to pound this drum. I'm not trying to take content away from HBO Max. I said that Blue Beetle should go to theaters, not HBO Max, and what happened? DC took Blue Beetle, and it's now going to theaters as opposed to going to HBO Max first. If you are putting Michael Keaton's Batman in Batgirl, please, please put that movie in theaters. People are going to be excited about Keaton's return after the Flash movie. And if the rumors are true, which we'll get to in a minute, this Batgirl movie has more importance than just bringing Batgirl into the DC cinematic universe. So if that's the case, then, hey, maybe put it in theaters. I would not be shocked if that announcement is made at some point, but for now it is still an HBO Max original. But I know somebody at DC's listening to this podcast because they did Blue Beetle. They took it to theater. So trust me on this one. If Batgirl turns out to be looking good, you're going to make a ton of money with it in the theaters. And the next DC project that we get to see is Peacemaker on HBO Max. And so far, the reviews have been killer. People are loving Peacemaker. I only saw one, and only it wasn't even negative. It was just like, yeah, it's a good show. Wasn't earth-shattering, but it was good. And I've seen some that are saying that it's the best thing DC has done ever, which is very high praise. I don't know if it'll hit that lofty level, but having said that, I'm stoked for Peacemaker. Really looking forward to checking that show out. And of course, we'll break that down here once we get to see it. I'm very jealous. All these reviewers were like, I've seen 7 of the 8 episodes. And then just like, yeah, I've seen none. Shut up. So very jealous of those reviewers. But looking good for Peacemaker. On to the rumors. Now, these could be spoilers if they are true. I'm not entirely sure. And I'm also going to get into the internet reaction to these rumors. So, if you don't want to hear any potential spoilers, bow out now, because this is going to be the rest of the show talking about these rumors, my thoughts, internet reaction. If you don't mind hearing the rumors, all right, we're getting into them right now. So the first one that hit, and these are all, most of these are all about the Flash movie. The first one that hit was one that we kind of already knew. I was amazed that people were having a conniption over this rumor, because I thought this was fact, in that the Flash movie is going to be used to somewhat reset the DC multiverse to create one main timeline for their films, and then the multiverse will exist in other corners where you're going to have, you know, obviously, you know, Matt Reeves, the Batman, is not part of this universe, so that's going to live off in its own corner. There's other projects coming that are probably going to live off in their own universes as well, but that the Flash movie would serve to reset and be like, this is our main universe and timeline. I thought that was well established. The way people reacted online was like, it was brand new news. And people lost their shit going, oh, they're trying to erase the current DC universe. And then, of course, it became a Zack Snyder thing. They're trying to erase Zack Snyder. They're trying to do this. How can you erase a guy's series of films when you're using the same fucking... You're using Ezra Miller. He's the Flash. They're not replacing the Flash. They're still using Jason Momoa's Aquaman. He's still Aquaman. Gal Gadot's still Wonder Woman. Yes, it seems like Ben Affleck is stepping away from Batman. We don't know about Henry Cavill. We'll talk about him in a second. But the majority of those heroes and some of the bigger named ones are still from Zack Snyder's universe. So these Snyder people that were so pissed off and like, oh, fuck Warner Brothers. They're just trying to destroy what he built. No. Well, first off, let's just get straight. He didn't build it. These are DC properties. He didn't create these characters. And he was going on telling a story that had good success and some mixed success with audiences. Those are the facts. And so Warner Brothers, rightly or wrongly, decided they wanted to go in a different direction. And what they're doing is trying to streamline things right now for the mainstream audience. And those are the ones that get you to $1 billion. Right at the box office. It's not as sad as it is. Us, the hardcore fans that like lose our fucking minds over casting decisions and all the stuff that we love talking about, we're not really the ones that drive huge, huge blockbusters. As sad as that is, it's people that are like, that looks like a good movie. I'm going to go see that. And walk in with no, like, the people that got Aquaman to $1 billion, the majority of those people had never read an Aquaman comic. And those are the facts. So DC and Warner Brothers are trying to streamline a world for the casual fan and the casual moviegoer. And at the same time, make us happy, because we are key in that we are going to be the ones that will complain the loudest If the movie is shit, if the characterization is shit, if the costume is shit, we are the ones that are going to get on our Twitters and get on our Instagrams and get on our podcasts and bitch and moan and complain, as we should as fans. And then the casual fan will hear us going, oh, you know, that's a terrible version of The Flash, and be like, oh, I heard it wasn't that good. That's where people, when people say, oh, I heard something wasn't that good, and it's in like a Star Wars, Star Trek, Marvel, DC world, it's from us hardcore fans. That's also where they hear it's good. But they're trying to mainline. So they're going to try to streamline this universe, which was always the plan with The Flash. And that seems to make sense to me. Seems to be the way to move forward with the DC film universe. It's gotten a little disjointed with the Batman already coming and existing outside of the continuity that they're building with, you know, The Flash and the movies to come afterwards. They need to explain this. They need to create this multiverse so that people go, oh, Robert Pattinson's Batman is not the same as Michael Keaton's Batman. And the best way to show it, oh, wait, look, there's Ben Affleck and Michael Keaton's Batman, because they couldn't get Pattinson's Batman to do this. So, that's that. So is it erasing the world, the quote-unquote Snyderverse? No. Is the Snyderverse going to continue? I would say odds are very slim. And that was always how it was presented to us, was that, you know, we're getting Zack Snyder's Justice League. It was a great movie. He did a fantastic job with it. Again, I've said it before on the podcast. You can go back and listen. I have issues with some of the choices he was making with the story going forward. I think Zack's a great filmmaker. I think probably the best thing for him and for DC are to just go separate ways. I just think that's the smartest thing for both parties. Now, Zack said to never lose hope when people were saying, you know, someone tweeted him and said, like, hey, I'm seeing this news about The Flash. Should we lose hope? And he said, never give up hope. Which, yeah, like, we don't know. There's the Warner Brothers Discovery merger coming up. Who knows? And once you create the multiverse, I actually think creating the multiverse creates a easier opportunity for Warner Brothers, DC, Discovery, whoever it is, if they want to jump back into the Snyderverse, to do so. Because you have a multiverse. Without a multiverse, you're really just stuck in their world. And, you know, the Zack Snyder story that he was trying to tell was very finite. He had a very straight line story that he wanted to tell, if you include Justice League's 2 and 3, and it didn't really create for the multiverse in the way that they want it and need it for other projects. So I think this actually plays into the potential of a continuing the Snyderverse world better than if they didn't do this multiverse with The Flash. So anyway, so that's that. So we're getting a multiverse. We kind of knew that anyway. The one thing that people really also flipped out about was that there's a strong rumor that at the end of the Flash film, we get a new Justice League, that Flash, Supergirl, and Shazam, who we didn't know if he's in the movie or not, supposedly form a new Justice League. And of course, people are flipping out about this because there's no Batman or Superman in this Justice League. We have a Supergirl. We could have a Batman in Michael Keaton. We could have a replacement for him because he is on the older side, and I'll get to that in a second. Shazam's inclusion is great. People loved the portrayal of Shazam in the movie overall. The movie did well. It was very profitable based on budget of film to box office receipts. And I think this leads to something very interesting. I think making Shazam part of the Justice League right now in this new Justice League makes me think, if you're going to make, let's say they make a new Justice League movie with this team, who's your big bad? How about Black Adam? To me, Justice League against Black Adam, I'm sold on that. I am 100% sold on a Justice League against Black Adam as your big bad in the movie. 100%. And then maybe at the end of the film, Brainiac appears, And, you know, that's how Black Adam becomes the tweener that he kind of is in the comics, where he, you know, he's kind of an anti-hero. Sometimes he does a good thing, sometimes he does a bad thing. Warner Brothers, feel free to use that. But, so, yeah, I'm okay with a new Justice League. And then the rumor is that once we get the Batgirl movie, Batman will be training Batgirl, and she will take his spot in this new Justice League. Okay. I'm for this is new. And this is why I'm for this. It might not work. It might fall flat on its face. But I haven't seen this before. So I'm willing to give it a chance. I'm also willing to give it a chance because I haven't seen the portrayal of any of these outside of the Flash and Shazam and Michael Keaton's Batman. I haven't seen Sasha Calle's Supergirl. I haven't seen the new Batgirl. What if they're amazing? Is it okay then? Right? And, you know, her suit is very similar to the Henry Cavill Superman suit. So it doesn't close the door on Cavill. That's another rumor that's floating out there, is that Henry Cavill is in talks with Warner Brothers to return to be the Man of Steel. I saw that rumor on a site that I don't take a lot of faith in, but even he in a recent interview said, hey, suit's still in the closet. I'm ready to go whenever. He loves the character. He wants to be Superman. I think there is a way to bring him back into the main timeline. Again, you have a multiverse. You can go pluck him out of his Earth, because of the way DC does things. It's like Earth 1, Earth 2, Earth 3. You can go pluck him off his Earth if he's not part of this main universe and drop him in for a movie or two. Or he comes to this Earth that's the main Earth. There's lots of ways to do that. So again, I would take the Cavill return one with a massive grain of salt, a bucket, a box, a salt rock quarry that is being discussed right now. But it's out there. The possibility exists. Once you get into the multiverse, anything is possible. Even Ben coming back as Batman at some point. Christian Bale coming back as Batman. It's just a matter of, oh, we're going to go travel to their Earth. And even if Ben dies in the Flash, which I've heard conflicting reports on that he does die or that he doesn't die, I think they're smarter to not kill him, to leave the possibility open. You can always just Flash can travel in time. You can travel back in time and pluck him out. And I know you're going, that sounds cheap. Yeah, that's comic books. That's the way comic books write themselves out of corners all the time. So it's not beyond the realm of possibility to have any of these actors that we think are gone come back. You don't think Marvel's sitting on that trump card in their back pocket, sitting there going, you know, if we really need Robert Downey Jr. and we back a Brinks truck up to his house, or if we really need Chris Evans to come back as Captain America, we can do it. We can, you know, jump into that quantum verse and pluck him out. It can be done, right? Nothing in comics is final. So the fervor and the hate that I saw online drove me mental. Seeing people saying boycott Warner Brothers, boycott them because of, you know, they're getting rid of Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck is deciding to step away on his own. From everything I have read, I have never seen any statement from anybody at Warner Brothers that said, we can't wait to get Ben Affleck the fuck out of here. I've never seen that statement. So as far as I can tell, pieced together from Ben's own interviews, he seems to be happy with what he did with the character and is ready to step away for now. He may change his mind in 2 years. But for now, he's going. And that's okay. But when you sit there and go, boycott Warner Brothers. So you want to, and a lot of people that are doing that are part of, you know, hardcore Snyder people. And it's like, so the people that Snyder handpicked, like Ezra Miller for The Flash and Gal Gadot for Wonder Woman and Jason Momoa for Aquaman. And despite the fact that, you know, Zack Snyder said Matt Reeves' Batman looks fantastic and he can't wait to see it, you are going to crush other people's work for somebody else's work. I don't think that's right. Go check it out. Check out everything with an open mind. And it might be good. It might be shit. We don't know. Like, I'm sitting here as a DC fan, hopeful as hell that The Flash delivers and that Black Adam delivers and that Aquaman is the sequel is fantastic. And, you know, the sequel to Shazam is just as good as the first one, if not better. Like, these are my hopes. Are all those hopes going to come true? Probably not. I'm sure there's going to be one, at least one of those movies that doesn't live up to my anticipation of it. It may still be good and I may still enjoy it, but I might walk out of it going, oh, that was good. Not what I was hoping for, but it was good. And that's okay. But to just blatantly dismiss a bunch of people's work because they're moving in a different direction away from a writer-director that you're a fan of. If you're a fan of the characters, it shouldn't matter that much. That's my point. These characters, I've said this before, mean more to me and are too important to me than one particular director or writer. I love, like, take as an example, I love Kevin Smith. Absolutely love the man. If he did a superhero film, say he came in and did a Superman movie and then decided to not come back for the sequel, to direct the sequel, happens all the time with franchises. Would I not go see the sequel? No, fuck no, I'd still go see the sequel. I'd be like, man, it's a bummer Kevin's not involved because I enjoy his work, but I would still go check out the sequel. And then I would go check out whatever Kevin's next project was. In a way, it gives me more of things I love. Can you start taking all the people that I'm a fan of and putting them in the same project? It limits the stuff I'm excited about, right? If there's a writer-director that I love and he's working with a character that I love and an actor that I love and they're all in the same thing, it's like a banana split. It's one dessert with a lot of great shit in it. Whereas if that writer-director I love is off working on something, the actor that I'm a big fan of, he's working on something. Oh, and then there's a project with this character I love. I got three desserts. They might not all be good, but I got three desserts to eat from. And I can be a glutton and get everything I want. And maybe throw up at the end. But that's okay. That's my hope. For the end of this podcast, is it's okay to overeat and throw up on the things that you love. A message of hope wrapped in vomit. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. We will be back again as we roll through 2022. Thanks again for spreading the word on the podcast, even with taking the holidays off. I cannot thank you enough. I saw new people checking in and new countries checking. France. Thank you, France. I don't speak any French, though. But thanks again. Don't forget to follow us on all the social media channels. It's Scotty Myers on Facebook and Twitter at Scotty Myers, or Scotty Myers on Facebook and Instagram at Scotty Myers on Twitter. And until we chat again, have a great week.